The following program is sponsored by Scoop USA Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
This is a lively episode already.
Yes. Hello. Hi. So...
We are alive, but it's, you know what, this just enhances the live listening
flavor. No, this is
flavor.
This is Cherie. This is who I am, 24/7. My brand is my brand. I'm this way all day, every day. Can you put those out there for me?
Mm-hmm.
And can you get me a new pair of headsets? These are horrible.
Here, switch off with me.
Wait. Oh, no, I'm not wearing those.
No, they're good.
No, I'm not wearing those.
Okay. Right on.
So, listen, everybody. While we try to get me together, I want to thank you all for joining the Inside Scoop. It's Thursday, and as always, Thursday comes a lot quicker than one can even imagine. And this week, we're dealing with a lot of things in and around the world, and in Philadelphia in particular. Such an interesting week. I've been, of course, keeping up and reading so many articles about the different things that are going on and what is actually happening for us. I think that what happened, it didn't have that on there. This is so much better. Thank you for fixing me.
What? Headphone roulette?
Yes, he fixed me. Oh, now I actually sound like me. So, I was saying that there's so many things going on in the city and around the world. And I've been reading so much information, and I want to share a couple of things. Later on in the show, we'll have one of my sisters, Sister Wanda Davis, actually joining us, because this weekend she has an event. And she actually started out about a couple of years ago a talk show on WURD, and her show is Power of the Vote. And each month she has a segment where they come on and they speak about voting and the importance of it. And we are in election time, people. This is like April. Election is what, less than 4 weeks away. And there's so much going on. So many people need to, and I will say this as loud as I possibly can, wake up, because the election is literally here. And it's so quiet. It is too quiet for me. For this to be a presidential election year, for this to be a time where our House of Representatives, everybody is up for election. We have the Attorney General who's up for election. We have the Auditor General who is up for election. And we have so much going on, but it's so quiet. It's unbelievably so. I own a newspaper and it's quiet to me. Too quiet. So we need to actually really, really step up this game a little bit and start trying to get some people ignited. And you'll see that in Scoop. Starting this week, we have our ads for Attorney General Keir Bradford Gray. She put her ad in this week, which means she wants people to know that she's running for office. And I get so happy because advertisements, yes, they offset the cost of putting Scoop out. I can't say it any better. They pay for the paper. But in addition to paying for the paper, they actually also share information with our readers. At least 40,000 people each week read this paper, and they need to know what's going on and who's running and why they need to be going out to vote. And I tell people all of the time, I'm from North Philly. I live in West Philly. And if I'm not warm and fuzzy, I'm not voting. I'm serious. I vote, and I'm one of those people I see is my sister, Thera. I vote because I was told to do so when I turned 18 and my grandmom instilled it in me. That's never going to change. I will get up and do it because I'm scared of ghosts. Seriously, I don't play with what I promised my elders. I'm scared of them. Yes, TJ, got ghosts. But I do it specifically for that reason, because I respect the people that came before me and what they told me. So I do as I was told. Not many people have my background and my upbringing. Thera's sister, can you hear me? I know you share that sentiment.
I hear the sentiment. I hear your voice. And good afternoon to you, Sheree Darden.
Good
How
afternoon.
Are you today?
How are you today? Are you at the Martin Luther King event?
I am inside the Pearlman Building. We are just off of, across the street from the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And the Philadelphia Martin Luther King Jr. Association for Nonviolence, in conjunction with Forum Philly, are hosting an amazing event that's starting any moment right now. Hmm. It's entitled, What Would Martin Do or Say? And today is, of course, significant because it is the 56th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King. And so we are just honored to be here and to see these two great organizations partnering to do this forum this afternoon.
It's going
and
to be so, an awesome forum.
Yep, it's going to be an awesome
forum. They have some great panelists, I see. I saw on the advertisement that was put out. Question, because
yes,
these people are speaking about what do they think Martin would say or do. And
exactly.
and you're in this forum. You've been around this world, and you were there. You were alive. I wasn't alive when he was killed, so... But in your opinion, after being in living through these ages and these stages, ask yourself that question and tell us, what do you think he would say?
Well, what would he do?
What would he do?
More importantly, I definitely believe that if Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. were still amongst us today, he would be out here pushing, working hard, continuing the fight for civil rights and human rights, because things have not gone as quite like we would have wanted them to. Good to see you, too. I have our scoop photographer is here, and I'm talking to Sheree Darden on the line right now at WWDB. We wanted the community to know about this event, and we do believe that Dr. King would be out there rolling up his sleeves, continuing to make a difference today, because we need it. We absolutely need it. I do want to share that Senator Art Hayward is going to be here today. Congressman Dwight Evans will be here. Senator Vincent Hughes, they are all part of the panelists that will be participating today. Now, we see that Mayor Sherelle Parker is on the agenda as well. She's supposed to offer some greetings, and hopefully nothing will change with her schedule, and she'll be able to swing over to the Pearlman Theater and do just that. But we take our hats off to Joy Nottage and, of course, to Dr. William Tucker for continuing to carry out the vision that Dr. C. Dolores Tucker had so many years ago when she started the King Association at the request of the late Coretta Scott King. And so we're just glad to be here today for this conversation as we talk about What Would Martin Do or Say, a forum that is put together by two great organizations, Forum Philly and the Philadelphia MLK Junior Association for Nonviolence.
What time is the event going to be over today? Do you know what the time span it's from?
The agenda says 3 o'clock this afternoon. But they got a lot of conversation to get through in that bit of time.
So possibly we'll a little after. Okay, I'll stop by after the show.
I just wanted to peek in on the inside scoop and remind your listening audience that this great event is happening today.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And also on the lines of Dr. Martin Luther King's Assassination Day, we want to give honor and respect and also always remember what that gentleman did for us and understand that had he been here, things would be different.
Absolutely.
Things would be a lot different. Thank you, sister.
Thank you for letting me call in a live report on the Inside Scoop. Have a great show. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. So we do have Wanda who's joined us. Hey, sis.
Hey, sis. How are you?
I'm fine. So we were just talking to Thera, who's at the event right now, because today, of course, is a real momentous day for us because it is the day that Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated 50, 60 years ago? And it is a day that we should be, most of us, recognizing who he is, why he is, and the things that we actually should be carrying forward because of the fight that was done then. It's a different fight now, but unfortunately, it's a different fight, but it's similar. You know, we have more technology. We're in bigger rooms, and we have a little more power, but in reality, while we have more, we still have less. You know, so it's very important that we acknowledge him and, you know, support that today. While we also talk to you about the great things that you're doing with the Power to Vote, which amazingly goes hand in hand, you know.
It really does. And let me say, yes, that was when I was about 2 years old. And one of the things that Dr. Martin Luther King said, and one of the things that we often hear people repeat is that you either stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
I'm not on here.
And okay. No, okay. I didn't have. I don't have the radio on. I'm just talking from the phone. I'm sorry. Okay. You probably heard Blue. You probably heard Blue in the background.
Oh, okay. There it is. It's a lot better now. It's a lot. It's a lot clearer.
Okay. Yes, that was Blue. It's my dog following me around.
Lots.
So basically, when you the event that we're doing, the power of the vote, as you know, we created it. It's the third year anniversary. And actually, it's the third year anniversary, and it was this past March. But we're having an event called Elections Matter. That's going to be on Saturday, and 2 days from now. And it's going to be from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's going to be aired live from WRD, and I'm happy and thankful to say that Scoop is a major sponsor, media sponsor, and we do appreciate that very much. And at this event, we're going to focus on voter rights, voter education, voter engagement, and getting out the vote. We're going to have a candidates forum for the attorney general, and a lot of people do not know what the what a lot of these elected officials do, what their jobs and what their roles are, in order to be able to hold them accountable. So, if you can't hold someone accountable if you do not know what they're supposed to do, and a lot of services, a lot of times people call us, you know, I need a passport. You know, this didn't happen. I'm having an issue with housing. One of the first things I ask him, well, do you know who your congressperson is? Because that actually gets expedited from your Congress office if you need help with that. Well, housing, you know, you need to see your council people. So, and there's so many different voter that people do not know they have.
So because your forum is the power of the vote. And I think that I actually was blessed, I'll say it that way, to be able to come in on Tone and Tenor last Friday, because I switch around from a lot of shows. I'm in a lot of rooms. And Pat Woodward, my brother, actually wasn't able to come in, and he called me and I called him, and it's somehow or another he says, can you go cover for me? So I was fortunate to be able to be on the show last Friday and interview Ms. Keira Bradford Gray, who's actually running for attorney general. And I had to say it this way, and I make sure that Randall said it during the show, that they actually invited every candidate, because as Scoop is nonpartisan, his show is also nonpartisan. We actually have to extend an invitation to everybody who's actually running in these offices so that we don't look as though we're trying to vie for one or the other, because we're nonpartisan. Everything about us is nonpartisan, and we deal with the issues and the matter, and actually more than anything, getting people to vote. And you just mentioned some very important things, and I actually asked Keira about this during that interview, because people don't know what they do. It's you know, from the regular individual level of the average person, and I speak as an average person. I grew up in the projects, and if I wasn't a publisher of a newspaper, I will tell you I still would not know half of the things that I know, because I would be interested with trying to live from day to day and pay my bills. And I was a HR person, and my focus was on hiring and firing. It was not on the political form or what this person was doing. Right. I found out how the attorney general was, or what they were, when I needed to sue a company when I was 18. But that's all I thought that they did. They were the people who I went to file a claim saying I had a problem with them, and it got thrown out. They didn't do anything. So in my opinion, the attorney general's office did nothing. I'm telling you, that's what I viewed them as a younger person. So when you're in these positions, such as yours, and you just spoke about city council and what some of the things that they do and knowing where to direct your question. You spoke about the congressperson and what it is that they do and knowing how and where to send their information if you have a question. Because seriously, when we have problems and we don't know where to go. And you know that. You know, if you're not one of blessed like we are to be in these forums and have conversations with people who are in these roles, we don't know where to go. And I'm sure you know, from dealing with me on many times. Sometimes I don't know where to go. Like, how can we move this narrative? Because your show is the power of the vote. Scoop, we have our civics part, and Thera writes about civics, and we are constantly out here. But for some odd reason, there's still a void. And I need people like us, if we can all at some point come together and try to figure out how can we be an information source for these people. So question, how can you, with your show and what we're doing on Saturday, is it going to be somewhere where we can have a conversation about what you can do?
Absolutely. It's going to be at Tenley Temple Church, first of all. That's where we're going to be airing live from. Mm-hmm. But we are going to have these conversations, and we're also going to be meeting in the fellowship hall, where there'll be vendors, where there'll be information. And you are absolutely right. And we all have to be fair, even in doing something like this. You know as well as I do what there are FCC rules, and everybody have to be, you know, contacted and have equal time if they're around. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, a lot of times when you don't see people, some of them almost never answer or always decline. So you're not even going to see everybody that was invited then. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about, let's say, for instance, when a lot of people do not know that if you have an issue with housing, mm-hmm. if you have an issue with a bank or somebody violates the law in real estate, you can contact your attorney general's office. Unfortunately, you will see you will hear people phrase it as like a super DA, but it's actually the top attorney, the people's attorney. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to help them and defend them in certain areas. People don't know if you have a housing problem. Any organization that's has 15 or more employees can be investigated and can have a lawsuit rendered on behalf of citizens and the people. Because we, even with recently taking away the rights of women or even voter rights, it used to be a time if you got on voting day and you got to the polls and you weren't, they didn't have your registration, or they say that you wasn't on the roll, you could call an attorney or you could call the NAACP or someone else. They gutted that law so that the only a federal, you know, a state entity can, law enforcement can help you. And that right now is the attorney general. So, you know, and even there are even some people that really don't know all of the roles of your judges. You know, a lot of people, they vote one election and then they don't go back. People talked about with President Obama didn't do, or they may talk about what Trump didn't do or what Biden didn't do. But what they do not realize is that they have to have, there's a Senate. You have to know the breakdown of the government, who makes the laws, and who, and then we hear about Supreme Court. Those Supreme Court judges ultimately have the last say so. So if you have a president who does not have the majority in the Senate or the majority in the Congress, there are things that just cannot get done.
Talk about Supreme Court, just to give a segue. So, you know, the conversation now is that certain people in the Democratic Party are requesting that Supreme Court Judge Sonia Sotomayor retire, so that we can change her out prior to this election, just in case. And quote unquote, this is how it was said on the news. So in all of the articles that I'm reading, because I don't think this has actually been on the topic of the news yet. But they actually asked her to retire so that Biden can select a new judge now, so that we don't have another situation where if Trump actually wins, they get to then run the court. It's so many. Yeah.
But they did. That's it happened the last time around.
They don't
time.
Want it to be another. So they started and is now titled the Ruth Ginsburg precedence. They don't want to set. They don't want another situation. But I say that
she
to
said
say,
it. She said the young lady sitting with you just said it. Mm-hmm. It happened the last
that's
time.
That's why it's
they
called.
They actually tried to get her to that's, consider
that's
retiring.
Why it's called the Ruth Ginsburg precedence. Mm-hmm. Because if you know the law, I'm fortunate enough to know the law a little bit because I worked at the PD's office. Precedent means that once a statute was in place, that's the way that things consistently go. Mm. So they're saying that they don't want to start down the line where this is something that consistently happens for us because it would be a precedent if it happened again. But just to say, and this woman, she's not terminally ill. She's in her 70s. And guess what her ailment is? She has sugar diabetes. Are you crazy? This is why they this is why they're telling
her. Are you kidding me? That's manageable.
Exactly. I'm saying that to say to you, and
that's why I'm shaking my head.
Biden's his news reporter, she actually stood there and said, this is a personal decision for her. We are not trying to force somebody to quit their job. This is a personal decision. But this is where we're going. I can name 20 different issues that are affecting all of us as a world right now. And I think that we're torn. There's a lot going on all over the place. We don't know which side to be on. Information is fluid. It's way too much. And it's like definite information overload. And just as with other elections, I think that when people get overloaded and it's too much to deal with, we shut down.
Okay. Can I
just... And you know what? That's why it has to start on a lower level.
Amaris has a question. Let's let her...
I don't know if it's so much a question. Maybe it's an open-ended question, but just the sad level of the precedence of where politics have gone, where we actually have to fear somebody potentially having an issue. And having to be replaced in the Supreme Court and fear it so much so that we have to, take preventative measures or where, you know, people in
trying to tell people to quit their job.
Yeah. Where people are trying to tell people to quit their jobs. Like, you know, Sheree just said, it's sad that we are in a place that now politically that we have to fear that.
So
it's frightening.
It's very frightening. But the big thing about that is it's only maybe 40%, maybe 60% of the world is actually fearful. The other 40% are hopeful.
Yeah.
That it does go. Like we are at so many like fighting fists coming at each other because
this
thing with Republicans and Democrats and their control and their fight. And we're all affected by their fight, which is crazy to me because we all move out of our parents' house at a certain age and we don't want them to control our lives. But we're now in a situation where people who we don't even know, and half of them, unfortunately, don't care about the average person. They're making decisions. They're pulling the strings. They're controlling our lives like we're puppets. Like, seriously, it's so sickening. It's so upsetting because at the same time that we don't know, because we haven't gotten to the point where, as in Martin Luther King days, where they said that we're stronger together. And if we all come together and fight this fight, these 20, 50, what is it, 50 senators and 240 or 227 representatives, these people won't be able to control us because we're more than them. But we all are in these corners, and it's because lack of information, lack of ability to get through to them because we all are on social media. We all have our own individual blogs and our own things, and we all think that our way is the right way. It's just freaking crazy to me that all of a sudden everybody is in their own room, like on Sesame Street where they had the nine blocks and they're singing a song. Somebody here is doing their own thing. Like, everybody here is doing whatever the hell they want to do. Excuse me. And nobody's coming together. It's so weird. And it's sad because we're yet at another election, at another point where we see that things could possibly change if we all come together and nobody's talking about the election. You're in media rooms with us, Wanda. This is not as noisy as it should be.
No. Especially not with round two, Biden versus Trump. Like, this is scary.
This is not hype at all.
This is very scary.
It is not hype at all. And I think, like, the hype people, there's the people that's supposed to be running around dancing and doing the thing, you know, like a hype person. Like hype people, they make it relative.
The publicists.
No, hype person. I'm saying it the right way.
Like the hype man at the Dell.
Exactly. Like the person that come out and jazz you up and get you hyped up about the world. And those people aren't out here. Like, seriously, it's weird to me. And I don't know how else to.
The sad thing is, The sad thing is, a lot of it is by design. A lot of it is systemic, and it starts by removing or hiding or depressing information. You know, whatever happened to Schoolhouse Rock? Whatever happened to I'm Just a Bill on Saturdays? You know, looking at Capitol Hill, and so if you and they've taken civics out of schools and then not made things a priority, and everything starts with education. You know, they have taken cursive writing out of the schools. Now, me having worked in charter schools, I've always taught cursive writing because we continue to do that. But what happens if someone can't sign their signature? And the bigger picture is that if everybody do not learn the education of the things that's at stake, then they don't realize that there are plans to populate these prisons in the rural parts of Pennsylvania, which is why you have a lot of some of these elected officials or some of the people that try to actually suppress or not support one area or the other. Love Philadelphia as long as they can lock them up and populate the prisons. They made it private.
You just opened up a whole nother can. So before you came on, I actually started talking about there's so many things that rooms that I mistakenly walked in this week. And I say mistakenly because I'm sitting at my computer and the emails are coming in with the many things that are going on. And I have to say this, and I think we're going to talk about this a lot more, and you may want to join in this conversation. I actually went into the state representative out in Chester County, Delaware County. She had a hearing this week, and there was two people. They were people testifying about deaths in prisons. You just said prisons, and my alarm went off because that's something that was quite disturbing to me, that the numbers of deaths in Philadelphia prisons was close to like high 20,000s. And it said that their discussion was so simple that they're trying to come up with a way to add a line to the death certificate. Now, not managed. Now, we're having hearings to have this discussion about adding a line to the death certificate in the state of Pennsylvania.
Oh, no.
Hearings that basically says died in prison. The people who had this discussion.
Oh,
wait. The people who were on here having this discussion. They were, of course, professionals from academia, one from Howard, one from Pennsylvania, one who's actually on the prison board in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, talking about how, first of all, out of the, how many is it, 87 or 67 counties in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that only two counties actually have board certified, like have morticians or people who run the morgue. Who are not elected. They said that these people who run the morgue, most of them are elected positions, and they don't have any background or experience in dealing with dead people.
Elected or appointed?
Elected. That they're elected.
Are we talking about morticians that, you know?
No, not the ones who embalm your bodies, the people who run the morgue.
Okay.
Like, seriously, they said that Philadelphia and I think Pittsburgh, okay,
well,
they're
are,
only
what is that position? Because I've never heard of that election for that. I've never voted for it.
I don't know, but they, well, it's not in our area, so you would have never voted for it. In the smaller or urban areas of the state of Pennsylvania, they don't have people who actually have these degrees and backgrounds to be in these roles. They're elected officials and they're put into these things. They're elected and appointed, I guess. And they're put into these roles and they don't have the necessary experience to make these decisions. So when it comes time to analyze and assess and determine what somebody's death occurred from, they don't have it. Or they don't have the money and funding to actually have information and programs and like we just, the city is now, what, giving more money to our morgue so that they can do assessments and understand how people die. Like they don't have places.
I know what that means.
I thought
just
that
so you know what,
but it's just it's another thing though. It's another thing where they actually had a hearing to add a line so that they can actually be able to identify who died while they were in jail. A whole hearing, like 3 hours with people coming in. Are you crazy?
Why do we need a hearing for that?
Because it's processes and protocols and people need to be busy and have a job so that they can say they have a job. Like, this is
yes, and because they're trying to increase the prison population, it's called the 13th Amendment.
So
slavery is abolished unless you are incarcerated.
Yes, and then, but it's all of these things in the background that are coming out and having conversations now. And guess what? Because people don't read.
Yep.
People don't read, and because we read from our phone.
And people don't vote.
You know, because
they don't vote.
Yeah, they don't
they
vote.
They think that they can't.
But but reading is the first step, because if you're informed and you understand that there are things that you need to fight about and you understand the path to actually getting those things done, then you will vote. That's that warm and fuzzy feeling that I just talked about in your stomach. You got to have a reason to get up and go, because if we don't have a reason, if we think our world is pearly just as it is, we don't understand that it may change without us being involved. But we think that we don't need to go. There has to be another way for us to get into these people's heads and minds and say to them, we need you to do this because it's not happening.
Right. By educating them and letting them realize they have the power, because when things like this are put into place, there's somebody else in a larger room or a smaller room or in a larger capacity that sits behind the controls. And this is why there are so many attempts to appoint people and not elect. You know, there's been attempts to stop elections of judges and disappoint them. Well, look what happens when you appoint. When Trump appointed all hundreds of federal judges, all of these, and then you see the commercials.
Oh,
I know he started, he said it. Well, I overturned, you know, they couldn't do it, but I overturned Roe versus Wade. You see attempts with them going after the sheriff's office. It is about those contracts and making it appointed so that certain people will control it. And the only way for us to have any kind of control and help narrate or navigate the things we go to is to be active in electing our officials. So many people, let's go back to the attorney general. The attorney general has the power to help dismantle systemic, listen to what I said, systemic oppression, these systems that have put us in place. But if everybody is running around talking about prosecute, oh, you know, you look at, and I looked through all the attorney general's things. Oh, I've, you know, prosecuted 9,000 cases a year, you know, and I've been the major, oh, nobody else has any experience because they've never prosecuted. What about defendants? So the bottom line is we have to be educated to know what the possibilities are. Because if you just telling me you want to be a super DA, you can't do anything for me as a super DA because we have a DA. Even with the DA that we have, that many of us chose, I elected them I helped elect him by voting for him twice. I'm not being partisan or nonpartisan. I'm just saying what I did because of what I believed in, because I do my homework. And then you want to, they had a special prosecutor. It is the attorney general's office who is going to put a special prosecutor in place to prosecute SEPTA people, violent crimes on SEPTA. Is Philadelphia the only county that has SEPTA incidents or riders or drivers? No. Yeah. No.
That's an ongoing issue, and it's going to be very interesting to see how that pans out, because it's a fight. Mm. And it actually is going to continue to be a fight, because you have people, here we go again, people who are in positions, as I just said, Republicans and Democrats, who actually use us like we're puppets.
who we either elect or not elect by voting or not voting. Because when we, my one vote don't count. I never forget Edgar Howard, and I'm probably dating myself. He was a commissioner, and he used to go to the schools. He went to PPACS, Philadelphia Performing Arts Charter School, which was down there in South Philly on Broad and Shunk, because Elijah went there. Mm-hmm. And he would actually, he would come home and say the commissioner, you know, was there. And mm-hmm. and they would go into schools and start civics early. And, you know, my two biggest things, subject matters, are civics and financial literacy, because those are the two major things that we lack. And it's no mistake that we're lacking in it. But if you think about it, Edgar Howard gave me a few one voters.
Yeah,
it Kennedy won by one vote per precinct. Wait, the two more things. Mm-hmm. Hitler won by one vote. Mm-hmm. And lastly, it was one vote that determined we speak the English language rather than the German language. People, it's the power of the vote.
So listen, I want to, you spoke about the commissioner going into schools. I want to give our commissioner, Omar Sabir, and the commissioner's office a little bit of credit, because they've actually reinitiated that plan, and they've been going back into certain schools in the city and actually doing voter registration and doing some civics.
Amazing.
It's not an everyday thing, because I think that's a cost initiative, as well as with our guidelines in place right now, I don't think you can actually have a whole office in somebody's school teaching civics or, you know, running that. But they actually are doing that. They actually also, and I was blessed to be in the room on Tuesday, where they actually opened their first permanent office in West Philadelphia, and they're going to be 10 others. And I actually had a chance to speak with them, and, you know, I asked the big question, like, between now and November, 10 offices, that's a lot. But it's almost guaranteed at least between seven of those 10 will be open, because they've already started working on them.
Let me say something that I didn't mean to infer.
Mm-hmm.
I only mentioned Edgar Howard because prior to Commissioner Omar Sabir, and as a matter of fact, Commissioner Omar Sabir is a partner. They're going to be, you know, we're going to be registering, make everybody can check their registration, make sure they weren't PERS, or make sure they changed their registration when they moved. But I only mentioned Edgar Howard because he gave me those one, pieces, but Commissioner Omar Sabir and this administration has been absolutely amazing.
It's not a problem that you mentioned to him, because, again, we have an issue in this world, in Philadelphia, in this entire nation, where people move away from the things that work. So you saying that he was doing it at one time is great, because it shows that at one time things were being a certain way. And then you have people who come in, who do some history, who do some research, who actually learn and understand these are the things that work. We need to go back. There is a direct separation. The separation is not tied to today. The separation is tied to the fact that between the time that Martin Luther King was assassinated up until now, people have been living in this vacuum where we don't think these things are important. And we need people who are in these roles to then go back, do your history, find out what's important, and bring it into action. Actually do what you need to do to make these people feel warm and fuzzy and come out and fight for themselves. But in that initiative, Omar Sabir in the commissioner's office now, look at how many years that has been now since the King time, since when you spoke about. It's a long time. When I went to school at Dobbins in the 80s, we were taught civics and history. My kids today, yes, they don't get it. We've never actually been taught African-American history, just that month in one assignment, literally. But as far as basic history, we actually got it. We actually got civics. We were taught the difference of the three parts of government and how they work and how they don't work. But they don't get that today. So we need people such as the commissioner and the people who are in these roles, these state reps, these other people, Congress people who actually have some power and authority to say, we want our people to know this, not like Florida, who's moved to a position where they don't want anybody to know anything about them. They don't even want you to know where you come from down there. But because because of where we are, and because we have people who sincerely say that they want us to know, sincerely say it, but in our term and in my world, actions speak a whole lot louder than words. And if I'm not seeing it, then I don't understand what you're saying or why you keep saying it.
And, you know, part of it is cultural. Our history was so painful in many ways. And so a lot of our ancestors didn't really talk about it. Everybody knows what the Holocaust was or where it originated, because that culture keeps it alive. Because if you don't know your history will repeat itself.
Wanda, and so many I'm going to say this to you. Most of the people in my era, in my age, and I'm a little younger than you, you know when we learned about slavery? You know how we learned about it? We had to sit there and we watched Roots. That's
right.
No, but that's where we learned about it. That's where we learned about it. That's where we learned about everything that happened to us. And unless that's a part of your everyday or your annual, oh, Roots is playing, sit your kids down and watch it. Nobody is talking that conversation. Roots is not even probably on air nowhere. It's probably not even on the cable channels. Like, seriously, that's when we learned about it. That's when all of those questionable doors were open. Like, well, like, who really are we? How did we get here? Because
right. And many of us think our history started with Roots. Our history started in Egypt. And you know, some people will rewrite history and make you think that Egypt is not in Africa.
I just had somebody the other day tell me I'm not from Africa. Girl, let me tell you something. But it's a whole convoluted. It's many, 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 many more layers than what probably one can count on their hands and toes put together, because they're all many layers. And we have to identify as the people who are in these rooms, who are, quote unquote, as I'm recognized as a resource for our communities. We have to make use of our resources and do like I do with Scoop every week, fight tooth and nail trying to figure out how to pay bills and keep it here so that it's free for people, so that they have a resource where they can go at and find information that is going to help them be better people, be educated, understand their history a little bit better. But in 16 pages, I can't do it all. 16 pages is not enough. And I do it twice a week, and then I do the other paper once a month, and it's still not enough. And then moving those 16 pages out to a point where they're not just on paper sitting there in somebody's store. People are actually reading it. And our elders are actually taking that information and doing like my grandmother did and sitting me down and saying, this is what you need to understand. This happened that way. That happened that way. Read your Bible. Read this book about King. Read this. Do all of these things so that when it's time for you to be in my position, you are a better person. And it's exactly. and we need to figure out how to make that happen. And I'm not the person with the solutions. I'm a worker bee. If anybody knows me, you give me something to do, I'm sitting down 24 hours a day trying to figure out how to make it happen. I'm the person that'll get it done for you. I'm not the person that's going to sit up here and tell you how to do everything. I'm not.
Well, let me correct you. You may not see yourself as the person with the solution, but you are one of the people with the solution because you have the scoop that gives us information and informs people and have been informing people for over 60 years. And yes, I'm a few years older than you, but people need to know you've been doing that since you were a teenager, helping, which is why you're in the position and Scoop is in the amazing position that it is right now, because Scoop is not just local or regional. Scoop is national or international. Scoop is digital. So, you know, people call me every time when I'm talking to my family and I'm sharing and spreading information. And you know, especially with the World Wide Web now, we have so much that we can get and give from so many places. So you are part of the solution, which is why you are one of the partners for this event of the power of the vote. Because if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Now, you're either going to be a sous chef or sushi. I'm a sous chef all day long. You know that. I'm a chef in real life. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is you give the scoop. You know, whether it's the inside scoop, whether it's what the scoop, you know, whether you're being scooped or you haven't been scooped. That is so important. That is so important. And we never really know how far our reach is, but others around us know. And I know because people, Wanda, where's the scoop? I haven't seen it. Or where can I get the scoop? You know, or Wanda, you know, is somebody just asked me the other day, where was the office of the scoop? So, I know you very modest and you don't like doing that. But while we're talking about, let me name a few other the sponsors,
please,
partners,
and give us now, some idea who's going to be here with you on Saturday, and we need to do it a little quick because I don't want to run out of time. Yes. I want to make sure you get this in.
Yes, so National Action Network, the Black Clergy and Vicinity, Meals on Wheels, Black Kids Cook, the top chef is 13 years old. And she happened to be a student that I taught in third grade. They're a nonprofit. As a matter of fact, they're feeding
all
people.
All right, Wanda, we got to do everybody. So don't.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
JCW Computer Consultant Joel Wilson. He's going to be there. Congressman Dwight Evans, you know, is supposed to be there or call in. And I'm looking to hear from, you know, Tracy Gordon, Tracy Syfax of Booker's. He's going to be talking about his amazing story from from the block to the boardroom. Mm-hmm. And Booker's, they hire returning citizens. And he's going to tell us, he let me know that April is Second Chance Month. Did you know that? Everybody deserves a second chance. Somerset Academy is going to be one of the sponsors. The Charles Foundation, you know, and Movita Johnson Harrell. So there are a lot of people who have taken part or have hands in this. And I've had some amazing help as well. You know, if I could shout out some of the people that helped put it together, the strategists, you know, the crisis management behind it, you know, Sandra Nils Mobley, you know, Teresa A. Brunson, Cheryl Mobley Stimson. So we've had some amazing people putting this together, and Word on Democracy as a partner who's going to do this every year. So we're looking forward to educating and informing, you know, registering. And Tinley Temple Church, I have to give a shout out to Tinley Temple United Methodist Church, who said, we love this. We'll open our doors for you. We want to be a part of this and be part of the community. So we're going to hear from Tinley Temple as well.
So
we're going to hear from our attorney general. I mean, our
there's a forum, correct?
Attorney.
Is there a forum there for the attorney general? Any other candidates having a forum there as well?
Yes. So the congressional, you're going to hear from some congressional
candidates
and some. Now all of the attorney generals didn't Some declined, you know, mm-hmm. some hadn't gotten back, some going to be traveling across the state, but you're definitely going to have two in person.
Okay, you know, what about some of the other candidates? So I'm assuming, because I know you, all of the candidates that are up for election have definitely been informed or invited. So, and we need to say this for protection of them and you, that they were invited and there there may be issues that keep them from coming, and those who can will be there.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. And then you have some that never come
It's fine. But we just need to make a blanket statement that everybody is always invited to our stuff.
Everybody for the forum has been invited. Yes, absolutely. It has to be fair.
And Wanda, can I just ask you to repeat where it is, when it is, and how people can find out more information?
Absolutely. It is Saturday between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. It's a live remote, and it's going to be at Tinley Temple United Methodist Church, 750 South Broad Street out in South Philadelphia, which is Broad and Fitzwater. It's very easy and accessible to public transportation. You know, for more info, you can call 267-241-8129, or you can email info@powerofthevote.net.
Scoop, you can look on page 8 and just scan the QR
page
code.
Page 8 in the Scoop, yes. And the Scoop has a app, and the Scoop is online. You can go on the Scoop website on WRG. Yes, and hit the QR code. Thank you so much for that. And there'll be scoops there available.
So
you know, everybody can't get one, so you have to get there.
We're gonna go a scoop moment real quick. So this week, and I'm sure that you know, this week is my favorite, one of my favorite papers of the entire year. This is our African American, it's our Women's History feature. And what we do is we feature, and when Mr. Driver was alive, we only had 2 pages. And in the past 7 years, we now have 5. And I think Stephanie said we're working on 6. We're not putting out another 6 page until we get some funding to help offset some of the costs for this, ladies. But we have 5 pages of African-American women first. These are people, and I know, and I have to say it because, Wanda, you know, people call you because they can't find me and say they didn't include me in the paper. So let me say that we...
I have to go to battle and say
that I don't know anybody personally to actually evade or avoid or not include people, because it's not in my heart to not give you your credit. But for those who are in here, there are 5 pages. And we also started off, we kicked out our election ads in this paper, too. So it's a very, very important first for the month of April. Oh, and also, Women's History Month, yes, is March, but I'm a black woman and I'm not celebrating that crap. Women's History Month is every day of the year to me. I'm a woman every year. I have to fight every day to be who I am and deal with all of the things that are happening to women, black women, white women, Caucasian women, women of all races and ethnicities every single day. We getting beat up right now, y'all. So women's history does not need to be relegated. We don't need to be relegated to 1 month. We need to celebrate each other and our fight and who we are every single day of the year. So I'm not following
that. I'm wearing sunglasses because I got black eyes. They beating us up so bad. And we got one other new one that I texted you earlier, and that is the first African-American female to run what, Serene? What did I text you earlier?
Zoo.
Yes.
So we got a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, so we got a lot of stuff going on. We fighting a whole bunch of fights, and we still getting beat up on the other end. So we're going to celebrate Women's History Month all year, as well as Black History Month all year. And we will be doing something all year. We're going to talk to Thera and see if we can't do a feature every month, at least identify and celebrate one woman who is doing something. So with that said, I think that I'm running out of time. which was good because I had a good time with you, Sissy Wanda, and you actually put me through this hour because we know always. These hours come for me. These hours come for me. Amaris is sitting here with her smile on her face because she know I struggle with it and I fight whether or not I should come to work on Thursdays. But I want to thank
you. And let me say thank you, sweetie. Thank you for being there and holding her hand and adding to the conversation. You're always amazing and making sure we lift what we need to lift.
Thank you.
So thank you again, sis, for joining us. Anybody who can, come out, support the power of the vote on Saturday at Tinley Temple between the hours of 1 and 4. I know that there are some funerals and things going on, but please try to find some time to come out and help us join hands, gather together, and learn how we can actually do better and share these information so that we can all get out and vote. Also, remember.
And the show is the first Sunday of the month. So our show will be Sunday too from 2 to 3.
Okay. And remember, April the 23rd is coming. Register and please go out and vote. Please, people. Thank you for joining the Inside Scoop. I love and appreciate you. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Go to PVA.org to learn more.